This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. At this year's Oscars, the film Gravity won for Best Sound Editing and Sound Mixing. While Gravity's subdued aural landscapes may give the impression of celestial silence, the universe is actually quite loud. From plasmic vibration to Earth proton whistlers, it seems the cosmos have a lot to say. Producer Todd Bookman brings us this story of deep space's newest noisemaker and what astronomers could learn from the signals.
All right, listen close, because it's only a fraction of a second long. That's real time. Let's play it again, slowed down. That is a fast radio burst, and the man who discovered it is Duncan Lorimer. He's a West Virginia University professor. Back in 2007, he and a graduate student were sifting through some data collected by a huge radio telescope in Australia, the Parkes Telescope, 210 feet wide, famously located in the middle of a sheep paddock. Anyways, they were looking at all the routine signals that come from our own galaxy when they came across this strange blip, this spike in the radio waves.
It had very different properties to what we were expecting. It appeared to be much, much further away. So we were completely flabbergasted. It was very surprising. We just didn't know what to make of it.
Neither did the scientific community. It was the first time anything like this had been captured. People started referring to it as the Lorimer burst.
Well, you know, it's a nice thing to have. It's not that important in the grand scheme of things, but it's a nice thing to tell your grandchildren about, I suppose.
Nice, yes, but without a second one on record, there were lots of doubts about what actually caused it. Maybe it was just some radio static or interference or a glitch in the software. 4 years went by, a very nerve-wracking 4 years for Lorimer, before anything similar to his burst appeared again in the sky. But then it happened. Parkes Telescope grabbed another one, and then, crucially, a different telescope, this one in Puerto Rico, spotted a burst. It was clear this wasn't a fluke. With only a few on record, though, it's tough to study them. Radio telescopes, despite their massive size, aim a fairly narrow beam at the sky. Some describe it as tunnel vision. And so it takes a while for a burst to pass through the sweet spot. Today, there's only about 10 on record, but scientists think there could be as many as 10,000 of them whizzing toward Earth every day, with some coming from very far away. At least, that's what their signal is suggesting.
And what we can see is that the waves arrive earliest at the telescope at the highest frequencies, and they sort of whistle across our telescope's range of frequencies. It's like a sort of a chirp.
The telescope, to be clear, doesn't actually hear a chirp. We've converted it into a wavelength that the human ear can detect. That scale, the high to low we hear, is caused by the different frequencies arriving at different times. They all start out together in space, but the lower frequencies get slowed down by the electrons they encounter on their long journey to Earth, sort of like hitting traffic. The time in between the highs and the lows, the short delay, allows astronomers to estimate the distance traveled. Lorimer says his burst may have gone 1 billion light years. 1 billion light years. I mean, it sounds like a Hollywood script.
2, 3, 5, 7. Those are all prime numbers. And there's no way that's a natural phenomenon.
Professor, do you know that movie from the late 90s with Jodie Foster?
Are you talking about Contact? Yeah, I know it.
What do you think of it?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, it's a great movie. I used to work at the Arecibo Observatory where that was filmed. So it brings back a lot of memories every time I see it.
Who would you want to play you in the sequel?
I wouldn't mind a crack at it myself.
There may not be a Contact 2 on the horizon, but if you've seen the first, you may remember that the source of those radio transmissions is, well, it's aliens.
That is, that has been discussed quite a bit. Because it's a single pulse, a single event, you could actually imagine an extraterrestrial civilization producing this, either by accidentally or on purpose, you know, for instance, during one of their nuclear wars or something.
alien nuclear war as the source? Well, probably not. Lorimer puts that pretty low on the list of possibilities. But at this point, nothing is ruled out. More likely origins are things like blitzars, which is a neutron star that, as it collapses into a black hole, sends out a flash of energy. Or it could be a flare sent off by a magnetar. They're spinning stars with a really strong magnetic field.
Something more exotic is the evaporation of a black hole formed in the early universe due to Hawking radiation that was very famously proposed by Stephen Hawking about 30 years ago. So that's, again, there would be an associated radio pulse with the final death throes of a black hole. The list goes on.
At this point, there are more theories than recorded bursts. While astronomers may not yet have a definitive source, they still see huge potential in what they could learn. Keith Bannister is a researcher based in Sydney, Australia, about 5 hours' drive from the telescope that has collected so many of these pulses. We connected over a fuzzy Skype line.
The organization I work for was responsible for inventing Wi-Fi largely, and the Wi-Fi in our place is hopeless, so, you know, it doesn't win you much.
Bannister says that the data for each burst doesn't just provide an indication of how far it traveled, but also the road it took to get here.
When we detect one of these bursts, it carries with it a very distinctive signature that we can measure very accurately, and that signature, it tells you how much gas that the burst has gone through. They get that signature imprinted on them. Then if we find enough of them, we can actually essentially weigh how much gas there is in that part of the universe, which is a measurement that hasn't ever been possible before.
With that measurement, scientists could nail down what's in between galaxies. Or, Duncan Lorimer says, maybe learn more about the magnetic field of the universe. Really big picture stuff.
They're not going to solve any of mankind's problems right here on Earth. And you probably already knew that. But for astronomers, they're very interesting if we can figure out what they are and how far away they are.
Even with more radio telescopes looking for bursts, Lorimer says it may take 3 to 5 years to answer those questions. Unless the signal is coming from aliens, they may stop by even sooner. For Word of Mouth, I'm Todd Bookman.
Creating a fantasy universe with special effects is one thing. Doing it with a bunch of friends in your basement is a wholly different challenge. 40 years after its inception, the tabletop role-playing game Dungeons & Dragons is holding its own against online and electronic games played on a global scale. There's even a new version out. A glimpse of the new market for D&D when Word of Mouth continues after a short break.